Welcome to the Healing Ground Movement, a podcast dedicated to revolutionizing how we think about our bodies and our health. I'm your host, Dr. Carly Hudson, DC, and I have lived my life in pursuit of holistic healing and care that goes beyond symptom management. If you've been listening and like what you're hearing, head over to your favorite platform and leave us a review so we can reach more people with our important message. Enjoy today's episode.
Hey everyone, today's episode is brought to you by ButcherBox. ButcherBox partners with people who are dedicated to doing the right thing, never cutting corners and always looking for ways to improve. Discover why they're the trusted source of high quality protein for families across the country. At ButcherBox, they believe in better. For them, that means caring about their animals and the planet, treating our planet with respect. It means improving the lives of animals and the livelihoods of farmers, and ultimately it means better meals enjoyed together. The protein from ButcherBox is never given antibiotics or added hormones. It's humanely raised. Our family loves the convenience and quality and knowing that we are getting humanely raised and sustainably harvested protein. You can customize your box with the right amount of food and variety of meat to fit your family's individual needs. If you're interested in getting a special offer, go ahead and head to healinggroundmovement.com/resources to follow the link for ButcherBox. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Healing Ground Movement. I am your host, Dr. Carly Hudson, and today we are diving back into discussion about running and how training and staying motivated isn't just for marathons. We have Matt Mills joining us today. He is a professional life, leadership, and running coach who works with busy and overwhelmed professionals, entrepreneurs, and leaders who are ready to ditch the hustle lifestyle that is running their lives so they can finally prioritize what matters most and create massive results that leave a lasting impact in their life, career, and business. Combining his coaching expertise and passion for running as an avid marathoner and former NCAA athlete, Matt is also the founder of Coaching on the Run, a marathon training and coaching program for busy professionals who are ready to create positive change in their life and work through running. Matt, thank you so much for joining us today.
Of course, I'm happy to be here.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started to be such an avid runner and then coaching in ways that go far beyond the trail.
Yeah, of course. And sometimes I feel like it's two different journeys, but they've come together nicely. as a runner, I guess I'd consider it a lifelong runner. But when I was growing up, I grew up in Connecticut, and I was just a shy, awkward teen. I was a little bit overweight. I didn't really have a lot of confidence. And my brother, older brother, was a runner and he ran collegiately. And I saw this transformation that he went through with running, where he lost a lot of weight and he became this totally different person. And so, of course, as every little siblings do, they look up to their older siblings, want to be like them. And so I started running and it just unlocked this whole transformation for me at a formative time. So that I've just been continuing doing for my entire life since then. And I ran collegiately and I ran for a nationally ranked cross country and track team. And then afterwards, when I left college, just kept on with running. And now I train for marathons pretty regularly. As a coach, that was something that within my career, I started off in the entertainment industry and I was growing my career there, made an executive at a young age and was really involved with this hustle lifestyle where I was just go, 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 go. And it really just started to help make me feel burned out. Mm-hmm. Really overwhelmed, really stressed. And I couldn't sustain it. And thankfully I had running to turn to as a way for stress relief, as a way to just have an outlet outside of that. With my career in entertainment, I decided I needed to leave that to really take care of myself and then also find something that was a little bit more aligned with who I was. And so I went to Tanzania for a year and taught English and was also able to run around, run a lot while I was there as well. So when I came back, that was when I discovered coaching. I had actually discovered it before I left. I worked with a coach and became a life and career coach myself. And a few years ago, I was training for a marathon and I was trying to really get involved with social media and try to figure out how to use that in a really effective way to promote my coaching. And so I thought, you know what, let me track my training for the current marathon that I'm doing and really talk about a lot of the concepts that I teach, that I coach my clients with coaching. And that's where Coaching on the Run was born. And so it was a way for me to really combine these two passions that I have in really helping people discover how running can help them achieve the goals that they have in their life, because it has had such a transformational power for me throughout my entire life and my entire career.
Oh, phenomenal. And I love you using your personal experience and sharing that with your clients and your followers to really see the impact firsthand. And it sounds like you really started to get the feel for that, with when you were still working in the entertainment industry and you were talking about having running as an outlet, a place to put that burnout and to put that stress. And I know a lot of what you talk about running is this transformative power that is beyond just, for physical and cardiovascular health, which I think we all know that, you're going to get an amazing workout, amazing for your heart rate. But what are some of these hidden benefits that maybe don't get as much of a spotlight as they should?
Yeah, it's always so obvious. People go out for a run or for a walk because they're just like, you know what, I want to stay fit and healthy. But for me, what I've experienced and what I've seen a lot of other people experience is so much beyond that. And I think there's a lot of mental benefits. So it really helps as a way to clear the minds, process what you're going through. I've never had a time where I've had a bad day, gone for a run, and the bad day hasn't felt less. It always has that positive impact. So there's those mental benefits. I also think it brings a lot more purpose and meaning. Sometimes when people are burned out, it's because they feel that they aren't able to accomplish anything of what it is that they're excited about at work. If they're burned out, it usually means they're pretty disconnected to their purpose and what it is that they got into their job or their career in the first place. And so running helps to give that whenever I'm signing up or training for a race or a marathon, or even just in between that, when I know I need to go off for my run because it's like my meditation. That gives me more of that meaning and purpose. And so I think that's a way to, running can be a way to also show you how to create more of that purpose in other areas of your life as well. So, it's goal setting and also discipline and also overcoming challenges. It can really just teach you more about what you're capable of than you probably would expect. And so those are just a few. There's a lot more of those hidden benefits. But beyond just that physical benefit, it's really just the mental, the spiritual, environmental benefits. You can experience your world in a different way by going out for a run. Social benefits, you can meet other people. Also, if you need time to be by yourself and process that, I know that's something we were talking a little bit about earlier. So all those benefits running can really provide to you.
That's amazing. Yeah, I was actually just talking with my friend earlier today. I'm not a runner, but I will go on walks usually when I needed to put myself in a timeout. Everybody needs a timeout every once in a while. And it's just that that's my space to be alone and just see things and slow down a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. But I can definitely see the social aspect of that as well. Oh, I'm curious to talk more about when you're talking about the purpose and meaning and that disconnect from our lives that we dive into. Yeah, the first thing that comes to mind for me is so often in our jobs and our careers, we are a piece of a puzzle. So we don't get to see what our work does, what our paperwork does, what our time spent on the computer does for the end game, for that final goal. And there's something about running. And as you were talking about setting goals and whether they're distance or time and speed or training for a marathon or a race, that suddenly you really have something quite tangible in front of you. How does that, is that the impact on disconnect that you were sort of talking about?
For sure. And that's what I love so much about it is I discovered this early on in my running life, in that it's, you get out what you put in. Mm-hmm. It's always, you can see the results from what it is that you're putting into the training that you're doing, to the efforts that you're putting into it. And that's what I love so much about it, is you can set these goals and you have control over what you can do to make those happen. And I think you're right. I love what you bring up. Sometimes we're just kind of a piece and we don't know what we're contributing, what the goals are, if we're working for a large organization or for anything where it's like, well, I know what I'm focused on and what I need to do and set those personal goals for myself, which are really important, but sometimes it can get lost in the bigger picture. Whereas with running, it's really with yourself. And so I think that when you discover the power that you have to say, okay, here's the goal that I'm going to set. Here's the strategy that I can put into place. It can honestly, it can be so empowering for you. And that's what I love about that. And I think just feeling that empowerment that you can create the goal, the meaning, the purpose that's exciting for you, that's going to energize you. It can change a lot for you personally and within your own world.
That self-reliance becomes such a big piece because, again, you think about being that piece of the puzzle or the cog in a larger corporation, or even I think about I'm in a small business, but I'm there helping my patients. There's a lot of interconnectivity, and that's wonderful. We need community, and we have had a lot of discussions about that. But here's a situation where no one can run for you to increase your speed.
That's right.
No one can rest and train for you to increase your resilience. This is very self-reflective, and I think that ties a bit into the meditation you were talking about.
Yeah. And I think that's something that a lot of times we can get comfortable and wait for it to come to us. And we can lose sight of the power that we have to motivate ourselves to accomplish the goals, like really that, as you said, that self-reliance. And that is immediately, that's what running can teach you. You're the only one responsible for putting your shoes on and getting out the door. Mm-hmm. You're the only one that's responsible for making sure that you get from start to the finish. Obviously, you will have that team and support, and that should never be lost. Mm-hmm. Because running isn't just a solitary sport. You're putting in all of the effort at the end of the day, but you can also have that support around you. But yeah, it's a lot of times we can lose sight of that self-reliance that we have, and running can really show you, well, wait, I am really capable of doing more than I thought.
How does that start to translate? Because when you talk about, you know, some of your coaching on the run, or I know you have these discussions that you've been doing of ditching the hustle and going back to your times in entertainment, how you don't leave running, you know, on the trail or on the sidewalk, wherever it may be. You talk a lot about how it helps you to achieve other personal and professional goals. Mm-hmm. How does that start to translate when we're talking about these conversations of self-reliance?
Yeah. So I think what's important is it's really the same as for anything when you're setting these goals for what you want to achieve for yourself, whether it's personally, professionally, running, whatever it might be. You know, the first thing is that you need to know what that finish line looks like for you. You need to know, what is that going to feel like? What does that look like? Like, what is it that you really desire? What is it that you really want to accomplish? When I work with clients, you know, we're defining what that looks like in all aspects, not just, so, you know, to use running as the example, not just what your time's going to be, but how are you going to feel crossing that finish line? Who's going to be there? What's that going to look like? And really starting from that place. And that's really important to do also with your personal and professional goals. Or if you're running a business, you know, getting that clarity on what it is that you want to achieve, because without that, you're going to feel like you're on that hamster wheel or on that treadmill. Mm-hmm. It's going to feel running and you're just like, I don't even know where I'm headed to. So that's important. And then it's also accessing that mindset that's going to puts you in that space where you have that self-confidence, where you feel that motivation, understanding what are those things that can get in that way of, you know, making you feel like that you don't have the power or control on that. And so really understanding that and then putting that strategy together. So planning out whether it's the first small steps that you want to take, just having an idea of where you want to get started, or even just putting together a larger strategy for yourself. And then the last part is really just taking those best steps forward. So making sure that you have the right resources, making sure that you have the right support. And that goes for not just for running, but also in other areas of your life. You know, sometimes we feel like we have to do it alone, or we think we're alone in what we're trying to accomplish, but that's just never true. So you want to have that support. You want to tap into those resources and also evaluate along the way. Mm-hmm. So learn the lessons. So when you have a bad day running, that's not the end of the world. Doesn't mean that you are a failure. It means you had a bad day. It means your body mm-hmm. just wasn't showing up, or there wasn't the right resources, or the environment wasn't right. But you learn from it, and then you move forward, and that builds that resiliency. And so that's where I see whether you're training for a marathon, whether you're reaching for these big goals for your career, for your business, or even just in your life where you're trying to dig out from all of this overwhelm that you have, you know, going through that process, it can really build that resilience and that self-efficacy, as we were talking about.
I mean, it becomes really clear how all of those pieces are just so applicable, but that we just hop on that hamster wheel. I love that visual, because you can yeah. either be running towards a destination or a goal, or on a treadmill, on a hamster wheel yeah. with no end in sight. And I think maybe we could start diving in there, though there are so many little tributaries here, about if you have a bad day. I like one of my favorite quotes to come back to is, bad days are just good data. Bad day, good data.
Yeah.
So if you're having a bad day running, instead of jumping to, I'm a failure, I'm terrible at this, why did I ever think that I could run? I need to pick a different whatever. There's data to be earned from that. You know, that's right. What can you learn about what to do to make tomorrow a better day? So how do you enter into those conversations with your clients that you're mm-hmm. coaching?
Yeah. And that's where that mindset piece comes in, in really knowing that this isn't who you are. You're not just because you had a bad workout or a bad day, or you were walking for most of your run or something like that. That doesn't mean that you can't achieve what you want to achieve. And really it's doing just that self-evaluation process. It's mm-hmm. what did you learn? What is it that went well? What are the challenges that you've had? And then knowing that you have another opportunity for the next day. And so I think that's where the switch needs to come, is really understanding, mm-hmm. well, what's the opportunity that you discovered in having that bad day or mm-hmm. having that thing go wrong? There's always an opportunity to be found, in whether it goes right for you perfectly or whether it goes wrong. I know, trust me, I've had bad, terrible marathons where I've walked half of it. It's been awful and really painful. But I learned so many lessons from that. And mm-hmm. I learned what I needed to do better on race day. I needed to know what I needed to do better with my training. And with that, then I was able to adjust for the next time when I was running and would hit my best time for the next race or whatever the case may be. So I think that's the discussion, is really just mm-hmm. finding like, what's the opportunity that this bad day or this data is teaching you so that you can be even stronger moving forward.
And it really seems that opportunity for learning and that opportunity for what can you do stronger is intricately tied to your very first lesson, your very first point, which is, what does the finish line look for you?
That's right.
Because without a goal in mind, what is the opportunity really attached to? It really is just a bad day in and of itself, because you're not working towards anything. It's a good run, it's a bad run. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I love going back to that beginning with the end in mind and what the finish line looks like for you. And that opportunity feeding into it.
That's right. Yeah. It brings that meaning to it. Mm-hmm. It makes it real. It makes it actually something that you're looking forward to. One metaphor I always use is if you think of it like going on vacation, you have your destination in mind. So, you know, if you're planning for a trip for Bora Bora, you're not going to spend your time looking for parkas. And let's say, you know, your flight's canceled. Like you plan out the trip and then your flight gets canceled a few months before, you're still going to want to go on that trip. And so you're going to find a way to get to Bora Bora or wherever the case may be. You're going to book a different flight. You're going to adjust the trip. And so that's why it's so important to know that finish line, to know what it is that you are working towards and getting really clear on it. And that's why I spend a lot of time working with people and getting clear on that finish line, because when it becomes something that you are so passionate and so excited about and is really motivating, then when you have those bad times, when you have those down moments, you're going to see them as just one stepping stone towards the finish line rather than a sign that you need to turn back.
I love that. And that analogy of planning for a trip and knowing where you're going, it really brings to light how much of our lives do we really live with just a scattershot, yeah. You know, that we're not aiming at anything. And it would be like, oh, my flight to Bora Bora is canceled. I'll just grab the next flight. But now I'm on my way to Madagascar and maybe I still don't need a parka, but I'm not prepared. And yeah. When we think about not just running, but then that application that you talk about where spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and we can apply this to our personal and professional lives.
Yeah.
You know, how much are we thinking, I just need a flight, instead of thinking, I need a flight to someplace specific. I need to learn a very real lesson from this bad data.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. It really is just knowing that destination and, you know, kind of to even tie it back with the running. If you don't know what that finish line, you're going to be excited starting. So you might start off without knowing where that finish line is, but then you're going to get to a point where you're going to want to know where am I headed? I've been running. I'm exhausted. This treadmill won't slow down. You know, I don't know how many miles I'm going or the time that I'm running. So it's so crucial.
Mm-hmm. And so that kind of leads us into, you know, what gets in the way. And I like that you include this aspect in its preparedness, because it's not, you know, this blind optimism. Certainly we need positive thinking and resiliency and visualizing success at the end. There's so much to support that, but it's a fool's errand to pretend that there isn't going to be something that gets in the way, that we don't know something about ourselves where, you know, I like to give up after the initial allure wears off, or I'm terrible at hydrating myself and that's going to start to kick my butt in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
How do you start? How does knowing what's going to get in the way before you even start, how does that preparedness lead to success?
Yeah. So you can never fully anticipate what's going to come your way. So that's the first thing to know, is especially for somebody, if they're training for their very first marathon or they're running, they're not going to know what's going to happen. They can try to learn from that and understand that. And so I think it is building that aspect of that there are going to be things that you can try to anticipate. And that's where strategy can come into play. And before you're really setting any goals, is really trying to ask yourself, what are those barriers that I might anticipate? But I think it's the switch that needs to be made is really coming back to that idea of what can I control? And knowing that when there are challenges that are going to come my way, I do have that. There are only certain things that I can't control. And so let me focus on that. And that's really where, when those challenges come on, it can give you more of that agency when that happens. So one example I use is weather. If it's hot out, I will not run well. It's my Achilles heel. And you can't control the weather. You can't. Mm-hmm. So when you're showing up and it's, you know, 100 degrees, and that's where I think back even just the Olympic trials a few weeks ago, which were in Oregon, and they were experiencing all of this kind of heat.
I didn't realize the trials were going on in that 120 degrees.
It was terrible. Yeah. And so the only thing that the athletes could do was control how they prepared for those races, you know, wearing an ice vest, or maybe there were a few of them said, you know what, this just isn't my time and I need to wait for the next trials or the next race or whatever the case may be. So it's really understanding what is it that I can control. And so if I know it's going to be hot and I know that's going to be a challenge, I'm going to make adjustments where I can have full control over how I'm showing up in that moment. And when you realize that, that there is a lot more that you can control, whether it's on the run, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, it really can help to give you a little more of that sense of agency and also just confidence that, you know what, I can handle the challenges as they come my way.
And so often we see that big wall of unexpected, of the thing that we can't control in front of us. And we just keep running headlong into it, you know, raging at the sun for, you know, burning at, I think the heat index got to 136 in Seattle. Yeah. Yeah. And you can scream at the sky all you want. And I am sure that numerous people in the Pacific Northwest were doing that, but it's not going to change anything. And as you keep running headlong into that wall, you lose sight of the fact that there are doors on either side of it.
That's right.
That you could go through with your own preparedness and strategy.
It's, you know, and this is a very common analogy that I've heard, is it's like a fly hitting into a window, and you see the fly and it just thinks, if I just try harder, if I just go a little bit faster into that window, I'm going to get through. But what the fly doesn't realize is the door is open a foot away and they just need to fly through. And a lot of times we feel like we're that fly. If we try harder, if we do more, if we just put in more of that time and that effort, if we just work 80 hours or if we do all of that, then we're going to get rewarded or we're going to accomplish what it is that we need to. And that can be really dangerous. And that's what leads to that hustle mentality and that burnout. And that's why I always like to say, you know, with running, you only need to do your work for however long, an hour, 30 minutes, 2 hours, however long, and then you're done and you've put in all the work. You've done everything you can. Running 6 hours a day, three times a day, whatever the case may be, is not going to make you faster. In fact, it's actually going to slow you down.
Yeah. And you think about that fly on, you know, bouncing itself into the window, and then you have dead flies on the windowsill.
Yeah.
And isn't that just a horrible analogy and horrible in that we don't want to be that fly, but we have strategy. And like you said, you know, that running in heat is your Achilles heel. And so knowing yourself and having that awareness and what will get in the way for you and your productivity gives you the strategy to know where your open door is.
Yep.
And fly through it instead of dying on the windowsill.
Yeah. It's that idea of understanding your strengths and your weaknesses. Yeah.
And so then that draws us right into, what are your resources and what can you draw upon? You know, if you know you have strengths in a certain area, awesome. Lean on those. That's a resource. And if you don't have strengths in another area, finding what's going to help lift you up.
Yep. Yeah. Making a plan. I think that's where that strategy piece comes in, is knowing what you do well. Where are the areas where you feel like you might need a little bit more support, other of those resources. So just being aware of it beforehand and then making a plan, like a mini strategy where you can take the effort that you need to address it.
It's not a very tough reach to see how this applies to so many areas of our life. There's not one place where knowing where you want to arrive, knowing yourself enough to say what gets in the way, and then coming up with a strategy and resources to help fill in the gaps isn't going to serve you, whether like you said, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, professionally, health, any of these places, same basic principles, man. There's nothing new under the sun.
No. It's not rocket science, that's for sure.
but I want it to be fancy and accessorized. If it's not fancy and accessorized, it certainly will not work.
Yes.
No?
Yeah. Hey, you know what? You can be as fancy and as accessorized on the run as you want to be. Trust me, I've seen some wild running shoes. So it can get pretty fun if you want it to be in that way.
But still, even beyond those wild running shoes, below that, there is that preparedness and training and self-reliance and finding your resources.
Yep.
Wonderful. Nice to know we can accessorize after the fact. But as we talk about this, what about people who want to get started running? I mean, we see the application and the motivation for running. Certainly, these are things that you can learn within your workplace and find other ways to challenge your goals and your resiliency. But for people who say, actually, this training and for a race and a marathon sounds like a really great place to dive in, where do they begin, especially if they've never run before?
Yeah, and that's a great question. And the main points that you want to start off with is just start where you are. I think we get, and this is also the same goes with other areas as well, when we see somebody who we aspire to be or have a goal or somebody where it's like they're doing a career path or they're in a role where it is that we want, and they think that it can just go from point A to Z in one step. And that their path can be the same as everyone else. And it's the same as if they're saying, I want to run my first marathon. All right, I'm going to just download a training plan and just follow it. And this worked for a lot of other people and it's going to work for me. And I always have to emphasize to people is start where you are. If you're someone who's never run before, great. That's perfect. You can still run a marathon, an ultra marathon, which are becoming really popular these days. Yep. God bless those people. I'm not there yet. Start where you are. If that means you need to walk around your block, and that's the first thing that's going to help build your confidence and motivation, start there. Don't feel like you have to do everything that everyone else is doing. If you feel that it's too challenging for you, scale it down and start with what's going to build that confidence in those small steps. So I always use another analogy. I always talk about people look at their goals, where they want to be, as like the top of a mountain. And all they're doing is looking at the top and saying, how do I get up there? And what I have to really help reframe and refocus clients is thinking, well, just get to that first checkpoint and that's it. And for you, that might look different than somebody else trying to get to that checkpoint. And so really just kind of break it down, start where you are, start easy, and build that confidence over time.
It's like nothing makes a hike to the top of the mountain feel longer and more arduous than staring at the summit the whole time.
That's right.
And beyond that, by the time you get deep within the woods and the thick of it, and you know, we'll just keep running with this metaphor, pun intended, you lose sight of the summit. You can't even see it for a while for the forest or the trees. So where, and this can start to sound a little contradictory, I know, for the beginning with the goal and the end in mind, but it's keeping that as your endpoint, not the thing that you are fixated on in each and every step in a way. Can you say that a little?
100%.
I got lost in there.
Yeah. And sometimes there can be a little bit of the set it and forget it mentality. You're right. There is a little bit of a contradiction, but that finish line is that's your anchor. But it doesn't have to be where you're getting to tomorrow. Because remember, when you're running a marathon, it's 26 miles. It's not, you know, you're not, my coach, my cross country coach used to say, they don't give out medals at the first mile. and so, but like that first mile, you want to just focus on that. Because if you're not running too fast for that first mile, if you are not, you know, burning yourself out before you get to the halfway point, then you're going to feel a lot better and you are going to get to that finish line, because a lot of things need to happen before you can cross that finish line. So there really is a little bit of that. Okay, you have your big vision, you have your big goal in mind, but let's bring it back so that you don't feel discouraged after the first few steps, or you know, starting off and you feel like you're not where you need to be. Because just have that trust and faith that you will get to where you want to go.
And it starts with that humility of a beginner's mind. I think as you're talking about wherever you are, meet that spot. And I had, and I can't remember what coaching paradigm it was in. So what measurement, what percent, but you know, I was once told that the most important part is, you know, the first 1%, the first mile, and the last 1%, the last mile. Because without meeting yourself where you're at with that humility of a beginner's mind, if I think that I'm going to, again, not the runner, so I'm going to go out and I'm going to run 3 miles today because I'm going to do a marathon by the end of the year. I'm going to hurt myself, burn out, hate it, never go back. Yeah. That first mile ruined my chance of achieving that last mile.
That's right.
And because I wasn't humble or prepared enough to see where I was at in the beginning.
That's right. And every time I run a marathon, and this is just also for coaching and what a lot of people do, is you actually feel like you're running really slow. And there is a purpose for it. You don't see it right there. And this is where just the marathon metaphor is so apt for so much that we do, is exactly as you said, that first 1% and that last 1%. And there's that concept of hitting the wall when you get to mile 20, when your body is just starting to tell you, I know I'm not making it sound really appealing, but when your body is starting to tell you, you know what? I think we're good. I'm going to stay here and you know what? Let's just crack open a beer at mile 20 and forget the last 6 miles, but that's where that vision comes into play. But you can avoid that by preparing appropriately and taking those first few steps right in that first few mile or first few miles, where honestly, I have to tell myself every single time, slow it down. It's going to feel really easy. You're going to want to feel like you're going to want to pick it up and run really fast because you got that adrenaline going and you're super excited. But know that when you slow it down, it's going to help you run faster and stronger and pay dividends when you're going to need that strength at the ends to push through that wall.
That you're not starting off with a sprint and burning up everything you have. Again, it feels like another really applicable lesson of what looks impressive right out of the gate. You know, someone breaking out, running ahead of the crowd. And I'm betting that you know when you see these people and perhaps your first thought is, it's like, awesome, I'll see you later. Yeah. This must be your first time out. Don't have to worry about you.
Yeah.
Even though it's a really great show of strength, show of speed, but what is it not actually a good show of?
Exactly. It's you're doing it either because you for a photo op or you want to prove something to yourself. I see it so many times. Or again, you're not aware of it. You haven't strategized enough. That's why it's all of these components are so important, because obviously you want that vision at the end, but without that strategy, and for a marathon, you really do need to plan out a strategy for that, which was a lesson that I learned after my first or second marathon. Was I just showed up at the start and I was like, let's see how it goes. That was a huge mistake. But when you have that strategy in place where you are saying, okay, I know I'm going to have to go slow in these first couple of miles. I know I'm going to feel really tired at mile 20. It's, as we said, anticipating some of those challenges. I know I'm going to have to fuel up at these points throughout the race. And when you have that in mind, then you can show up and just execute at your best and feel confident that you're going to get to the finish line.
Well, and as you're talking about showing up for your first marathon and just with that, we'll see what happens. And, you know, you burn up through a lot of your gas tank in that beginning. Again, it's not an opportunity. Well, it is an opportunity to beat yourself up and say, never mind, I'm not good at this. But it's also an even better opportunity to apply, you know, what we were talking about before, bad days, good data. I mean, how often do we take on a project or take on a commitment and then sprint out the gate and wish, oh, I could really use those 8 hours of sleep that I worked straight through. Now, how can we go back and learn from it?
And you know what? I want to add on something to that that I think is really important. And that is, you know, when we're setting these goals and we're looking for that finish line, we have to center it for what's going to serve us best first. You know, I think sometimes we take on, so using that example of a project to take on, you know, that's where, again, going back to what it is that finish line is, no, are you doing this for you? Or are you doing this for somebody else's goals? And that's where I think, again, with running is, you're not going to be running to achieve a goal for somebody else. This is your goal. And so you want to make sure that you are not taking on more of things that are just not going to serve you in some way. And so that's where that can trip some people up too, is when they take on things that's either because they feel like they have to, or because they think their expectations of, well, I'm going to get this if I'm doing this. And it doesn't really serve them in a really impactful way. And so it's really important to center yourself back to what's going to help me, what's going to serve me in this moment. And that can help be a good compass as well.
Well, and that makes perfect sense to center around, again, that goal. And is the goal really for you? Because I'm assuming that the strategy for, you know, running to have a faster mile for your marathon, or running for cardiovascular health, or running for meditation, or running for weight loss. They all have different strategies. You wouldn't train for all four of those goals the same way.
No, that's right. And it is, it's very different. And the steps and the strategies are going to look different for that. Yeah.
So as we're talking about these beginners that probably want to start running after listening to this incredible conversation, we have a lot about starting where you're at, meeting yourself at your skill level, and knowing why you're starting. What are other great ways to focus on getting started? And then I think really importantly for anyone starting a new routine of any kind, how do you stay motivated?
Yeah. So what's fascinating with motivation, I think there's this idea that people wait for it to come to them, like it's going to strike like lightning. And they're just going to be like, one day I'm going to be motivated enough to get out of bed. And the really important thing to know is that motivation comes after the action. A coach that I work with was like, you know what, she put it in a great way, where it's the universe responds to action. And I think that's really important, especially with running. And I struggle with this too sometimes, where I wait for that one thing that's going to motivate me and get me out of bed. And so I always challenge people to start with the smallest thing that's going to at least get you into action. And so I talk about this and getting your shoes on. So I tell people, you know, when you are in bed and it's either too hot or too cold, or you want to sleep a little bit more, but you know, you want to go for that run, I say, you know what? The only goal you have is to put your shoes on. That's it. You don't have to commit to going out for your run or whatever the case may be. Go ahead and put your shoes on. After you put your shoes on, if you want to get back into bed, if your body's telling me, I can't do this, or your mind's telling me, I can't do this, go for it. Do that. You can even take it a step further. Some coaches will say, just run for 4 minutes. And if you're good after 4 minutes, head back home. But I promise what is going to happen more often than not, you're going to put those shoes on and you're going to take your steps out the door. You're going to go for those 4 minutes and you're going to be like, you know what, this isn't so bad. I'm really happy that I went out and I did this. And so whether you're just getting started or whether you're seasoned or established, take that first step. that will help bring that motivation to you. So remember that motivation comes after the action, not before.
And I like that, that kind of talks a little bit to the set it and forget it of having the summit in mind. Because if you do get out of bed thinking I'm going to reach the summit today, or, you know, this is all about reaching the summit, then you're really not going to be listening to yourself and listening to where your body is and what it needs at that moment. Mm-hmm. Because I think most of the time, we are just sort of lacking in that motivation, and the bed is really warm and it's kind of cold outside and I don't like that. But putting on your shoes, I've had this advice given to me before, and I've put on my shoes and then I've asked myself if I want to get back in bed. And the answer is like, well, now don't you just feel ridiculous? You're going to take off your shoes and get back in bed. You're perfectly healthy. get your tush outside and run. But sometimes, because, you know, I have a lot of chronic disease and chronic health issues. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the answer is I've put on the effort of putting on my shoes and I'm checking in, and this run is not a good idea, and I will get back in bed. But it lets you meet yourself genuinely at where do each of those first steps get you without having a cop-out. You know, you have to get out of bed to test the waters, to check in with yourself, put on your shoes. For me now, it's roll out the yoga mat and see, actually check in with yourself, and then meet yourself where you're at for those beginning steps, for the what's right in front of you.
Yep. And it goes back to the idea of, what's the opportunity? How is this serving me? So there are going to be times, and this actually was a lesson that took me a long time to really learn, was, you know, when I ran in college, and it was always like, hey, you're feeling pain, you got to push through that. And then what I realized was that's actually the wrong approach, is when you are feeling pain, when your body or your mind is telling you, this is too much, it's okay to take a rest. And actually, that's what's going to serve you more rather than pushing through it. And that is so important. And I think that's why there are probably times when your body was rightfully telling you, take a break. You don't need to go as far. And now having that, you can see that it's rather than a setback, it's an opportunity. Mm-hmm. So the opportunity there is, hey, you know what? I'm resting up my body so I can show up tomorrow and have a great run. So I can feel really good instead of dragging out that pain or that overwhelm or that stress that honestly is just going to take so long for you to recover from if you don't take that one day off.
Yeah. And you having that advice of just get out of that, your goal is not to go run your 4 miles, or, you know, maybe that's today's summit and we want to get to that summit today to go run that 4 miles. But your initial goal, that beginning, that humility of the beginner's mind every single morning that you wake up, is not the 4 miles. It's to put on your shoes.
Yeah.
Because we don't want that to mistake inertia for our body craving rest. Any more do we want to mistake achievement for the only thing that matters over recovery.
Yep.
But by having a really low buy-in, if you're healthy enough to have a 4 mile running goal, you're healthy enough to put on your shoes, and that's not going to kick your butt.
Right.
But it is going to let you know if it's inertia or recovery that you need to do.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that.
So the universe responds to action. That's fantastic. So how about any other ideas about staying motivated as we keep going? I mean, you know, especially when you hit that 20 mile marker.
Well, okay. So you're right. So when it comes to that 20 miles, this sounds so simple. It's honestly, it's what's the next step you need to take? So I know, you know, when I'm in the marathon and I'm in the 20 miles, I don't think about, that's when I put the finish line away. And I just ask myself, what's that next step? That's it. It is what you said was a good word for it, inertia. As it's what's just going to keep propelling me moving forward. And then it goes back to what is it that you need in that moment? And so like, one thing is I probably in a majority of marathons, even my best times and all of that, I've probably walked, not a good portion of it, but I've had times where I've needed to stop, stretch, and the clock is still running, but my body needed it And that was the first step. And then I get back out there and I'm like, all right, just take one step at a time. And so that's really important to know of just not only keep inertia going, but also to challenge yourself a little bit more. Because it really is important too that you do want to stretch yourself a little bit. So that's the one thing. And then also, I think enlist your support. Have somebody, I think with running, with training, share it with other people. Share it with your family. Let them know what your finish line is and say, this is the big vision that I'm going for. I'm really passionate and excited about it. And when you share it with them, they're going to feel that same enthusiasm. And then when you need someone else to believe in you, when you don't, then you know who to turn to. And that's important because all you need is one person to believe that you can do it. And sometimes we don't do that ourselves. And we need someone else to believe in it for us.
Oh, it's such a crucial moment. I think about this a lot with my patients when they're overcoming a chronic disease or a big setback. And I tell them, you know, this is the program, this is the strategy to get to the goal. A lot of these same things, actually, now that I stop and think about it. And they just are exhausted. They've been dealing with this issue for so long that there is no way that it's going to be any different. So, you know, that 20-mile marker, I would like a beer, I'm done trying. And I tell them, well, don't worry, I'll believe in you until you're ready. Yeah. And eventually, inevitably, they are always ready. But if they can set down that weight and lean on somebody else, anybody else for a few miles,
that's right,
it makes all the difference for that comeback.
That's one thing, there's been these magic moments in a marathon where I've had it where I'm struggling or someone next to me is struggling. And then there's a sense of this, we're all in it together. And sometimes I rely on other people in the race. I say, I am really struggling here. And they're coaching me through it. And they're saying just one step at a time, one step at a time. And so I think when you get to those moments, and this doesn't have to just be in a marathon or a race, but when you are struggling like that, like you used in that example, do not be afraid to ask someone to help carry that weight for you if you really need it. I think sometimes we can be kind of prideful and be like, well, I'm letting myself down and I'm letting everybody else down. And you really need to explore, number one, if that's really true. You're not letting anyone down if you've made it 20 miles into a marathon. But really see who can you lean on in those moments.
And I'm seeing this real underpinning of, you know, while we started this conversation starting about resiliency and what we're capable of doing and pushing yourself and all of these really great active and achievement words, which is all true, there seems to be this underpinning of humility that comes through running this race as well. And it seems like it's yet another one of those things that we only really get resiliency and strength if it is met with the softness of humility and effort.
That's right. Yep. Yeah. Knowing your limits. There's no shame in knowing that you're not going to make it to the Olympic trials with your first goal or what your race is. So yeah.
Beautiful. That's just great. I think about all these things and these metaphors that come through, and you know, you hear so often, you know, life's a marathon, not a sprint. And do we really apply the lessons of the marathon, or do we wake up every day going, no, I think it's a sprint. I'm going to sprint today.
Yeah. I think we just get caught up in what we think we have to do. I think it's part of our culture and part of our nature as well. And sometimes that's where that humility comes in. And also just, again, recentering ourselves and knowing what's important for us in that moment. What do we need? What do we need to focus on? What do we need to take off? What do we need to add on? All of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then in that regard, tell us a little bit more about this roundtable discussion that you've been hosting, the Ditch the Hustle.
Yeah.
can we call it Ditch the Sprint?
Yeah, it is. So really this idea, it's really kind of, when we think of hustle, you know, it's that idea of doing more And as I was mentioning earlier, you know, this idea of, well, we need to take on more, especially through the pandemic. I think people, they really were struggling with this of just, they felt that they were expected to take on more, that they brought on more on their plate. Their boundaries were not as strong as maybe that they had been because everything was kind of brought together. And so with the round tables, it's talking about this idea of really just not feeling like you have to hustle to do more, that it's more about being in flow, which really kind of has that calm, ease, energy, and really taking a lot of the principles that we've talked about in our conversation with running and really just applying them to other areas of your life. So really learning how to slow it down, how to evaluate what's happening, how to strategize, how to get clear on what's really, really important to you, and learning what you're taking on that might be somebody else's expectations and baggage that are taking away from your priorities. So the Ditch and Hustle, it's these monthly roundtable discussions where it's usually around something about a different topic, whether it's dealing with overwhelm, setting those boundaries, getting clear on those expectations, learning how to say yes and learning how to say no better. And so that's a bit about what we talk about on a monthly basis.
That's fantastic. And I love you bringing up flow, because then it's another thing we didn't really touch on, but to me, it always seems like the wistful holy grail of the new runner, which is, I just want to get the runner's high. I want to get that flow. I want to feel like it's not effortful. How, you know, is that the same thing as being in flow in your life? And how do we get it as a runner? How do we get it as a human?
For sure. Yeah. And I think it's really this mix of our skill and then also challenging ourselves just a little bit. And that's where we can get in that flow state, which is a whole concept that we could have a whole conversation separately about that. But yeah, it really is just meeting yourself where you are, and knowing your capacity, slowing it down, and really just leaning into more of what are you good at? Like, what are the things that maybe you need to address? Instead of taking on more than you feel like you have to handle and more that you feel like you're capable of handling. Because when you do that, then that's where that overwhelm, where you feel like you're on that hustle treadmill that's going so fast and you don't feel like you can get off, but you can step off, you can slow it down. And so when you do that, it's again, it's centering back into yourself, and that's where you're going to feel that flow. And you know, it's going to look differently for everybody. What's going to be flow for a runner, for every runner, is going to look differently. For somebody, it might be walking 5 minutes, running 1 minute. For another person, it might be running a 6 minute mile, for an entire marathon. It's different. So yeah, but it's not expecting that you have to be the guy running or the gal running 6 minutes a mile.
And it goes right back to, you know, all of the pieces of this conversation about knowing yourself, knowing what you're resourced with, and very much this, I was thinking of like the Goldilocks equation, just enough, just right, that you are working within your skill set and challenging yourself so that you're not bored, but not overwhelmed.
That's
right. And only you can know what that line is, whether it's running or any category of your life.
Yeah. And it goes back to that first mile. It's going to be slower than you think. And that's where it's okay. It might feel a little uncomfortable to say no to things, to establish boundaries, to not feel like you have to answer emails or take calls on the weekends, to spend time with your family, to put in 80-hour work weeks. Like, you don't have to do that. You can slow it down, and actually that's going to make you stronger at the end, in that mile 20, when you hit that wall, when things get tough. And you'll even make it to mile 20, and then you will only have 6 more miles, and then you can build that next goal and reach for that next finish line.
That's beautiful. I've never heard such a great analogy as to why. We've tried to talk about it, you know, cognitively on other podcasts that I do with my patients about why slowing down from that 80-hour work week feels uncomfortable.
Yeah,
and
unnatural.
To that, unnatural, yeah. And it is that don't come out of the gate with a sprint kind of marathon mentality of, yeah, you are capable of more. Doesn't mean you have to do it right now. And doesn't mean doing it right now is going to serve you. This is going to feel slow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I would add to that is really just trust the process. That's that's the hardest principle that a lot of my clients, that a lot of people I work with have challenge with. It's just having that trust and faith, knowing that what you're doing will pay off. And that can be hard. That's where, again, I'm running really slow. It feels really slow. And actually, you could scientifically, you're actually with the adrenaline, you're running faster than you think. So that's why it's like, you got to slow it down. But when you slow it down, it really, it's going to make you stronger, and just have the trust the process.
Love that. That's a great note to end on. Matt, thank you so much for joining us and really just so seamlessly pulling the lessons of running and the lessons of life. I mean, that was, you really can't see where one ends and the other begins. Where can people find you and learn more about your coaching and benefit from more of your experience?
Yeah. So, you know, I run a couple of different programs and provide a lot of different offerings where you're at. If you want to learn more, I do periodically run a group training program for marathon training for people who are particularly who are feeling busy in their life, feeling like maybe they don't have the space or the room or the opportunity to train or run for a marathon. So if you go to coachingontherun.com, you can sign up there and find out when the next group program is going to be run. The next one will probably be in the fall. And then you can go to mattcmills.com and sign up if you want to learn more about the Ditch the Hustle roundtables and also just learn how you can have more of an anti-hustle lifestyle to slow down so that you can finish that marathon, whether it's running or not. So that's where people can find me. And then I'm on LinkedIn, Instagram, at Coaching on the Run. They can find me there. So that's where people can check me out.
Great. Thank you so much, Matt. We'll have all of those links in the show notes for anybody who is interested in following through. Thank you so much for your time. And I hope all of our listeners got quite a bit of inspiration out of this conversation. I think it has such wide reaching application. I'd love to hear where you're trying out some of these really key tactics in your life. So I hope you all have a wonderful week, and we will see you next time for another episode of the Healing Ground Movement Podcast. Be well.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. I hope you enjoyed what you heard and got a little something out of it. Now remember, the information expressed in these interviews is for informational and not diagnostic or treatment purposes. However, I hope you find that having the right information and resources can go a long way to helping you on your healthcare journey. Ask the right questions and seek out professional help.